Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Eat Sleep Podcast Repeats. My name is Dave Taylor. Thanks for checking us out today as we review AEW's Revolution. What a show that was. Again, thanks for checking us out. Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat. We're part of a couple of radio stations in Virginia, FM 99 and 106.9 The Fox. And you can find us on the websites, FM99.com, under the media tab. Same with 106.9TheFox.com. Facebook and Twitter, ESPR99. That's the handle. And if you want to go old school and email us, ESPR at FM99.com. There you go. Let's get the business out of the way. Let's run through the quick review of AEW's Revolution, which if you haven't seen this, I will highly recommend this show. This may be the best AEW show to date. You know, they've been in a little downtrend. I don't know if it's just, you know, it was Sting's retirement night. Things get a little more amped up. You know, it was a big night. Very cool moment, except for one thing that was stupid, but everything there was big. And it won a night. It was. And, you know, it's really weird because people complain or whatever, you know, about shows being predictable. And I was pretty good at most of the outcomes of these matches, but there's a couple things I didn't see coming on this, which I should have, which is my fault on this. But, you know, it's the way it is. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So we'll go down the match order here. And of course, it's the two pre-show matches that I completely got wrong on this. I didn't expect that, but you had the pre-show matches. You had the big zero-hour matches, I should say. That's what they call them in AEW. You know, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, you know, with Max Caster and company there. And Daddy Ass Billy Gunn and company there. Taking on Jeff Jarrett's team. And, you know, it's weird because it's almost like, hey, we got to get ready to end the show. So here's a big 12-man match. And there was a lot that went on there. And the match ended with White delivering the Blade Runner to Willie Mack. And to put that 12-man match to bed. And that match lasted 12 minutes. They must have timed it out that way, just right there. But there you go. So they won the match. Next match was a women's tag match. Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale defeating Julia Hart and Sky Blue. There was a spot where Chris picked up Sky and threw – I didn't really pick her up. But it was set up nicely and threw her into the crowd. But a fun match for what it was. Statlander and Willow Nightingale win. And that's your zero-hour matches right there. And then things really pick up for the main show. And do they? The AEW TNT Championship kicking off with Christian Cage. Of course, yeah, Killswitch in this corner, Mother Wayne and Nick Wayne as well. And taking out Daniel Garcia, who could use a few more bodies helping him out in this match. Because kind of what you would expect in a Christian match nowadays, a lot of distractions and stuff. You know, at one point, Christian Cage, you know, distracting the referee, so Killswitch performs a choke slam, and then Christian hits a big splash, almost gets a fall there. But you know, a physical match for what it was. You know, Cage, selling the knee that's been worked on, and then Garcia hits a pile driver for a near fall in that match. But of course, more distractions thanks to Mother Wayne and company, and then Nick Wayne. And then Christian ends the match, gets the kill switch, pins Garcia, and retains the AWA TNT Championship. No surprise there on that. The next match, holy cow, this is fantastic. This is by far Eddie Kingston's best match in AEW. And Brian Danielson could just add another one to the list because that's what he does. So it was the Continental Crown Championship match. This is for the AEW Continental Championship with the Ring of Honor World Championship and the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Openweight Championship. Eddie Kingston taking out Brian Danielson. And go find this match however you can. This is like the situation where, and maybe AEW will get it at some point, a streaming service where you could watch this match. And, it's just a lot of drama in this match. I mean, there was moments where he thought maybe Eddie Kingston was going to tap out to the LaBelle lock. But Kingston got to the ropes there and You know, delivered some big moves of his own. And but then the big end, you know, the 3.5 suplexes there. Then a big power bomb to finish off Danielson, and he retains the title. And yes, after the match, Brian did shake Eddie Kingston's hand. So I thought with that stipulation that would be the case, you know. And was it 20 years? If you go listen to Eddie Kingston's interviews on our previous episodes, I mean, he does not like the Blackpool Combat Club. And he's not a fan of Brian Danielson. So you can definitely check those out. But here, he finally gets the respect from Brian Danielson. Fantastic match. Definitely it's one's going to be on the list for match of the year. Absolute joy. Next match with the All-Star Scramble match, the come-down match, if you will. This one I nailed right with who's going to win. So you had a lot of guys in this match. You had Wardlow taking on Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin in that particular match. Now, of course, Wardlow wasn't alone. He had Adam Cole and company with him as well. And the winner of this match, you know, they get a future AEW World Championship match, which kind of made the most sense for Wardlow to win this match here. And he wins on a power bomb. He gave that to Cage. He gave a headbutt and a big old clothesline to Hook, by the way. And then ended up pinning a Dante in the match. So he kicked a lot of butt in that match, pinning Dante Martin to win, and now he's got himself a world championship match. And we'll talk about that world championship match a little bit later on. And now next, he had Roderick Strong taking on Orange Cassidy by pinfall. And I don't know where my head was at, because I was like, yeah, Orange Cassidy's going to win this one. Well, I was wrong. This is the match for the AEW International Championship. And Roderick Strong ended up winning this. Because you had, how about this, Kyle O'Reilly making his return. He's been gone for over a year. Nice to see him back. You know, a little celebration in the ring and everything else. But, yeah, there you go. Roderick Strong winning the match and everything. Now, Kyle came down after the match. But I wasn't too crazy about the whole match itself. But nice to see Roderick winning this particular match here. And, you know, the end of heartache helping him win the title there in this particular match. So you got that. Next up, you got the, and I'm no surprise about this outcome because I don't know why they treat FTR like this. Blackpool Combat Club defeating FTR in the match. And, you know, in the ending on this, you know, Moxley putting the head scissors on, I think it was Harwood in this match. So you know, he passed out there. Yeah, so, okay, you didn't get pinned, you didn't submit, but a technical submission. So I guess that makes it okay for FTR. But yeah, so Blackpool Combat Club wins that. So a couple of matches I wasn't crazy about there, and they have fought a lot, each other in various ways, and FTR loses again. So I think it's more of the outcome that that kind of gets me here. In this particular match, you did see the giant swing because it's been a while since we've seen Claudio do that. Yeah, the AEW Women's World Championship match and all the build they did for this match, I was hoping for just a little bit more. But Timeless Toni Storm taking on Deonna Purrazzo and two fantastic talents and getting a chance to shine here. But it just seemed like a lot going on because you had interference from Venus to Milo. You know, with and Storm was tapping out. You know, the match should have been done, but of course the ref didn't see it. All that stuff going on, and you just had Mariah May down there as well, and just kind of a cluster there. You know, I would like I get it. Maybe it's more protection, but if you're going to continue the program, I get these kind of endings. But if you're not, then you know, let it be a little bit cleaner or just a little bit more decisive. So and that's like, and look, I get their heel champions, yes, they're gonna cheat, but that's been like the theme through the night because you had that in the Toni Storm match. You know, now you didn't have it in the Roderick Strong match, so that was a little different. That was pretty solid that way. But then in the Christian Cage match, and it's almost like look, I get it. You're gonna complain about Roman Reigns and the Bloodline every time, and yes, it does get stale. But here, you know, you got a lot of the same thing going on. You know, like these two could just have a regular one. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it sets up for a regular one-on-one match down the road there. Because I hate to see Deanna kind of like disappear and just kind of get forgotten about here in this situation. Because you do have a lot of ladies on the roster. And it's about to change in a couple of weeks if the former Sasha Banks does show up. All right, next match of the night is the match of the night. And maybe match of the year. Will Ospreay taking on Tashida. And if you're not familiar with these guys, now's the time to go get educated. Because if they're going to do what they're doing, these guys put a lot through each other in this particular match. No, was there a belt? No. But in this situation, this outdid all of that. And these guys, for about 22 minutes, just went out of their way and did a lot of crazy stuff. Just, man, oh, man. You know, you had all these moves. You had the Blue Thunder Bomb from Tashida. You know, almost pinning Ospreay there, and Ospreay, you know, doing the springboard Oz cutter, Tashida. It was a lot of near falls in this match, a lot of back and forth stuff, a wheelbarrow suplex, and then, of course, Ospreay kind of no-sold that a little bit during the match, but these guys just went at it, and I'm sure they're sore today. But Ospreay with a couple of big moves towards the end of the match, the hidden blade to pin him. And then after the match, you know, Don Callis came out and Kyle Fletcher and embraced Ospreay. So we still got that going on. Take that for what you will. I don't know. You know, the match was fantastic. Outstanding match. I didn't care for the aftermatch stuff. But there you go. Well, Ospreay winning the match. Go watch it. Go find highlights. Everybody's raving about it. It was good. Next match, AEW World Championship match, the three-way. Samoa Joe defending against Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland. This should have been a one-on-one match. And I think it was going to be obvious here that the Adam Page was going to be the guy taking the fall in this match. And that is what happened. Can we get to Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland one-on-one? Maybe that's next. Of course, and Wardlow is going to screw that up or whatever else. Would have loved to have seen that, though. And, you know, it just, but for a three-way match, there's a lot going on there. But, yeah, Joe at the end, you know, getting a swerve out of the ring and then locking in the coquina clutch on Hangman. And another non-tap, so just a pass out, which, you don't really get a chance to tap out in that move, do you? So Samoa Joe retains his title. Next up, nice little cool little video, you know, Sting in the theater and everything else, you know, it's showtime. And, of course, you had, Ric Flair there. You had Ricky Steamboat showing up as the special guest timekeeper. That was pretty cool. By the way, the pay-per-view was in Greensboro, which, of course, NWA country. Steamboat and Flair had some good battles there. They were going to get, like, a Steamboat-Sting match. You could have done some good guy matches there because Sting did some of that. And there you go. Yeah, Sting, Darby Allin. Oh, by the way, Sting came out with his kids. Well, I shouldn't say kids. They're grown-ups now. But yeah, one of them dressed as Surfer Sting, and the other one dressed up as, like NWO Sting, which is pretty cool. And I got to admit, they definitely look like his dad. And so that was really cool that Garrett and Steve Borden Jr. Came out, and that was just an awesome moment to that match. The match is what it was. You know, Sting doing a lot of stuff in the match. You know, trying to lock on the Scorpion Deathlock a couple times in the match. But we'll just get to the part of the match that just didn't need to happen. Because, like, it got ridiculous at times. You know, you had, ladders coming out and everything else. Then you had, and, like, Sting agreed to this because he set up the gosh darn things. But all the chairs outside the ring. Sting set up the glass panes on the glass of or top of the chairs, all these glass items here. And Darby on top of the ladder climbs it and goes for the senton. And, yeah, okay, maybe the timing was off and the placement was off. But it was just a stupid spot. I mean, the dude went through the glass, backs all tore up, everything else, and was not a necessary spot in this match. And just crazy. And the fact that he got up during the match and continued the match It's just insane. I mean, the dude takes a ridiculous spot like this. Like, that should be the match. You know, let Sting finish on his own. You know, Sting ended up, you know, winning the match and stuff because Darby came back. He delivered a coffin drop to one of the Young Bucks. I think it was Matthew. And then Sting locked in the Scorpion Deathlock. That was it. Tapped out. End of the match. Sting said some thank yous, everything else. We find out the AEW World Tag Team Championships are vacated. So no shenanigans, you know, because that was my concern. I mean, during the match, it was like a Flair and Steamboat, like, got super kicked or whatever. But they didn't really, you know, nobody turned on Sting. You know, Darby didn't do that. Flair didn't do that. He didn't low blow anybody. Steamboat's not going to turn on Sting. Steamboat's a good guy for life. The glass spot was stupid. It didn't serve a point other than making a highlight and completely taking away from Sting in his final match. And reports were that Sting didn't want to win this match. He wanted to kind of pass the torch, but they win. So, you know, I the right call was made. And the fact that, you know, there wasn't too the shenanigans to get to the pin or the tap out, you know, was fine. You know, but it was the stuff around it. The glass spot didn't need to happen. I'll just leave it at that. But a great show. One of the better one of the best AEW shows in a long time. That's for sure. Because it's been kind of rough. So you put this on a 9.25 scale. I mean, a couple of things I didn't look like on the show. Some of the interference in the matches. It does get a little stale in the title matches in some situations. But Ospreay and Tashita, fantastic. You know, I wasn't crazy about the outcome of the FTR Blackpool Combat Club match, but go check that one out. And then the Kingston Bryan Danielson, man, oh man. Two very, 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 very strong matches on the show. And not a lot of bad, just that stupid spot in the end of the glasses. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That is your AEW Revolution 2024. Go find a way. This is where AEW's got to figure out some streaming service. I don't know what they got planned or whatever else, but or get on something. You know, because that's the benefit of it. You know, if you can't make your own, because obviously there's an expense with that, find your way in somebody else's. And then you got content, and then people are going to watch it because people will watch this show. Absolutely. So go find it. Like, I know, you know, people got their ways. Go get this show. All right, that's your review of AEW Revolution. Next episode is I'm going to indulge on a story because we lost Virgil last week. And I remembered, it's really weird because I tweeted on ESPR99 about a show I went to where there was rumors that some of these wrestlers didn't get paid. And on that show was like Kevin Sullivan, Greg Valentine, Medusa, The Barbarian, Hercules, Jim Neidhart, Al Snow, before it was Al Snow, Sabu, Taz, and Virgil on the show. Well, something happened at that show, which was very memorable for me, and one of the great shows I've ever been to. So I'll tell the story in the next episode because it does involve Virgil and everything else who was there at the time. Now, this goes back to 1994. It was a different time in wrestling, and we're independent shows. You know, we're fun. I mean, they're fun now, but there's, you know, sometimes you get a lull. But it was an interesting time in 1994. All right, there you go. It's Eat Sleep Podcast. Repeat Facebook and Twitter, ESPR99. On the web, 1069tofox.com, FM99.com, and anywhere you listen to podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple. Just search ESPR Wrestling, and we should show up, hopefully. Or just Google us. How about that? Search ESPR Wrestling. My name is Dave Taylor. Have a great day. And as always, make sure you eat, sleep, podcast, and repeat.